What are you allowed to do on column mode? What's mutter doing on column mode? What's us doing on column mode? So the general rule is you're not, column mode is exactly the same as Yom Tov. Anything that you cannot do on Yom Tov, you cannot do on column mode. Unless it fits into one of the specific hetayim that Chazal gave for column mode, which we're going to discuss, you're not allowed to do anything, all the lamentes melachos, apart from ochel nefesh, which is mutter on Yom Tov, it's also on column mode. The only exception is carrying. You're allowed to carry on column mode for any reason whatsoever. There's no issur to carry on column mode. On Yom Tov, you're only allowed to carry for ochel nefesh, or because of hoyol for other things, or to ochel nefesh. But on column mode, you're not allowed to carry. The Chofetz Chaim used to say that you should assume that everything's also unless you know it's mutar. That's how the Chofetz Chaim viewed column mode. So is malacha on column mode also midrashim and midrabanan? It's a big machlokes. Tosfos and the Rambam hold that it's also midrabanan. And it's a gezeirah so that people shouldn't be busy doing malacha all day and going to work and having a regular day, and they should be at home and they should learn and they should be busy with Simchas Yom Tov. So they made an issur malacha. Rashi in the Rif says also deraisa. And it's a very, very interesting issur deraisa. I think there's somewhere else we find such a thing, but I can't remember where it is. As an issur deraisa, the Torah gave the power to the Rabbanon to decide where to apply. That means the Torah said you're not allowed to malacha on column mode, and Chazal had the power to decide where that applies. Whatever Chazal decided, it becomes an issur deraisa, not the Rabbanon. That is what Rashi in the Rif holds. So it's a very serious thing. It could be if you do malacha on column mode, you're over allowed deraisa. So, what are the heterim? When are you allowed to do malacha on column mode? There's five heterim. Dovah Ovid, that means if you're having a financial loss, we'll discuss each one on its own briefly. Sorka mode, things that are needed for Yom Tov. Sorka Guf, things that are needed for your body. Sorka Rabim, things that are needed for the public, for the community. And Pershing Lemalekul, and a worker who doesn't have what to eat. Okay? So, let's discuss each one. Dovah Ovid, a financial loss. So the general rule is, I'll tell you a basic example, which is very, very nagah during the current state of affairs. You're not allowed to get a financial gain. You're allowed to prevent yourself from having a financial loss. So you're never allowed to invest in the stock market during column mode, because you'd only do that to get a financial gain. But people who have stocks and they see that the stock market is plummeting are allowed to sell their stocks in column mode to stop themselves having a financial loss. Okay, that's a basic example. If you have a storekeeper and he knows that all of his stuff is not going to be worth the same amount after column mode, then he is allowed to sell it during column mode, because otherwise he's going to lose his whole stock. There are lots of rules and exceptions to this. If you could have done it before column mode, it could be not mutter. If it takes a lot of exertion, it could be not mutter. For instance, let's say your garden is going to get ruined, so, and you have to water it. So if you can turn on a watering system, then that's fine. If you have to go to the well and get pails and start watering it by hand, then it could be, it's going to be awesome. So even by Dovah Ovid, there are certain cases when you're not allowed to do it. Let's say your front door, the lock is broken. So you're allowed to fix it, stop robbers coming in. Or the fence in your garden is broken, the animal's going to come in and ruin the garden, you're allowed to fix it. But you can't necessarily do a skilled job. And you can't, if you could do it before column mode, you can't do it, and you can't do a lot of exertion. They're the exceptions, and that's Dovah Ovid. There's some very interesting shilohs. For instance, what happens, let's say I've got a job, and if I don't work on column mode, I'm going to get fired. So I don't need to the money that I'm getting for working on column mode, but it's a Dovah Ovid, because I'm going to get fired. So every case is going to ask for off, but in that specific case, generally, what is told to people is you should work, and all the money you get, you should give to the stocker. Because you're not allowed to get benefit from that money, but you're allowed to go through the actions of going to work so that you don't lose your job. If a person gets a certain amount of vacation during the year, he should move his vacation to the summer as opposed to taking off. He should take off during column mode as opposed to taking off in the summer. That's not called Dovah Ovid. If there's a way around it, then it's not called Dovah Ovid. Sorka Amoid is one of the biggest tetarium. Anything you need to do for column mode or for Yom Tov is mutter. The exceptions are if you have to do a skill. For instance, let's say that you need to you've got a button that's fallen off your Yom Tov suit and you want to stitch it back on. So the way that works is either a skilled person can do it in an unskilled way, or an unprofessional person can just do it because it's going to come out unprofessional. Yeah, the bookers that I did for the Shem Lamo things for column mode, the front cover I did myself, and that's why it's so unprofessional. So I didn't have to worry about it. But if my wife were to do it and it would come out skill, then it could be a problem. You're doing it for payment. Also, it could be also, even at Surkhan Bohid. If you have a job, which is Surkhan Bohid, it could be you're not allowed to get paid for doing it. Let's say, trying to think of an example. If you're cooking food, if you're a cook, it could be you can't get paid for your job. It's better to do it as a favor for people than to do it as a job. And if it could be done before Kalamodi and you push it off, that's also a problem. Yeah, we're going to discuss later. It could be you're not allowed to get hana from such a job. That you could have done before Kalamodi and you push it off to Kalamodi, that could be a problem. Another exception to Surkhan Bohid is, one sec, if you're cooking on Kalamodi. You can't deliberately make extra food for after Yom Tov. If you're cooking and there happens to be leftovers, you're allowed to benefit from those leftovers. But you can't put in an extra kugel into the oven while you're cooking, because I'm anyway cooking, so why not put an extra one in so that you have leftover? But you're allowed to make fresh on Kol HaMoed. If you have an old one in the freezer, you want to have fresh food for Yom Tov, you're allowed to make fresh, but you should try not to cheat. Yeah, you shouldn't do haram. Yeah, Shimon?
What about Pesach hotels? Cooking, they cook in Chol Moed for 7 days.
You're saying how can the people get paid for their job? It could be the hired goyim.
So they themselves are not allowed to do it?
I don't know. But you're allowed to get them to do it. Always better in all of these situations, it's better to either get a goy to do it and pay a goy, or to get you to do it without being paid. It's always better.
And what about at home?
Then you find someone who's a Persian and a Mayokov, for instance. You find someone who is, that's the fifth category. Someone who doesn't have enough food to feed his family, then you can hire him without any problems.
Technically at home, most people can make tons of food during Four Yom Tov and not make anything Chol Moed for 7 days. Are you allowed in that case?
Don't know. It's quite hard to do the whole thing for Yom Tov. It's not so simple. But
sure. Could have more usually than they actually do.
It could be it's preferable to cook as much as possible for Yom Tov. General oichel nefesh that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, you could do on Chol HaMoed without a problem. We're talking about stuff that you wouldn't be able to do on Yom Tov. For instance, turning on the oven. Yeah, which you wouldn't be able to do on Yom Tov. That's what the extra malachas. Okay, what is called a skill? So we said you can't do a skill job for Surkhan Bohid. What is called a skill job? So one big shaila is driving. Is driving called a skilled work? Because it's a skill, you have to learn how to drive. So the general rule is that things are only called skilled if they're productive. That means that they make something. Let's say sewing or cooking or anything like that. Driving just moves you from one place to another. So it's not underneath the category of labor to be called skilled labor to become also. That is, so we said Dov Avod and we said Sorkei Amod. Sorkei Guf, anything for your bodily needs. That means having a bath or preparing food. Anything for your physical needs can be done. You should try as best you can not to do skilled labor. But if you need to, then you have to do it. For instance, if your boiler is broken, all these sorts of things, you're allowed to do skilled labor. You're allowed to pay people for it. So Sorkei Guf is one of the most lenient areas. Basically, you could do anything for Surkhan Bohid if it's necessary. You should always try and get a goy to it first. You should always try and do a bad, let's say your shower breaks. You should do like a bad repair job instead of doing a professional repair job if you can. But if you can't, then you could do what you want. Surkhan Rabim, for communal needs, there's an extra head over here over everything else. But Surkhan Rabim and Mutter, even for things that won't be used till after Yom Tov. Let's say you're building a new shul. You're allowed to work on Chol HaMoed, even though it's only going to be used after Yom Tov. Now, if it could be done before Yom Tov, then I can't remember if it's Motor or not. It could be it's not Motor, it could be done before Yom Tov. And if it's a skilled labor, then you can only do it if it's for physical use as well. Let's say a mikvah, or fixing an Eruv or something like that. But generally, Surkhan Bohid, Mutter, during Chol HaMoed. Surkhan Mitzvah sort of goes together with this category. Things that for a mitzvah, you're allowed to do in Chol HaMoed. But only mitzvahs that you need for Yom Tov. A mitzvah that's necessary for after Yom Tov, you shouldn't bother doing. Let's say you have to write a pair of tefillin for one mitzvah in 6 months' time. You should leave that off. But let's say you have a mitzvah that you need to do straight after Yom Tov. So the halakha said this, very interesting halakha. For yourself, you're allowed to do skilled work, so you can write a pair of tefillin for yourself. For someone else, you could do unskilled work for after Yom Tov. So let's say tying a pair of tzitzis is not called skilled. So you could tie a pair of tzitzis for someone else, even. But writing a pair of tefillin, you can only do for yourself. But things that are, that's for things after Yom Tov. If it's for Yom Tov, let's say you need a pair of tzitzis now for Yom Tov, or a pair of tefillin now for Yom Tov, if you write tefillin during Kollel Moed, then you could do whatever you want. Building a sukkah. If it's things that aren't the actual mitzvah, they're just like an extra added thing. Let's say making decorations in the sukkah, then it's not so posh. But things that building a sukkah, let's say the actual mitzvah, you're allowed to do whatever you want during Kollel Moed, even skilled labor, even for other people. Someone who is poor and doesn't have any money, doesn't have food, then he is allowed to do whatever he wants. You can do skilled labor, you can do whatever you want for Jews, for non-Jews, it doesn't make a difference. If you don't have food, you're allowed to work during Kollel Moed. So those are the two. Now, if you do work during Kollel Moed when you're not allowed to, or if, even if you have these heterim, but you left it off on purpose till Kollel Moed, you're not allowed to benefit from the money. Okay, you should ask a Rav what to do. It could be you should give it to Stocker, but the money is also banal. So if you have a job which you illegally take during Kollel Moed, you're not allowed to benefit from the money. Let's say you've got doctors now, by the way. This goes into the category before. If you have doctors that are working because of coronavirus and they have to work, then they have to work, obviously, but they shouldn't get handed off from their money. You should give the money to Stocker, because there's no need for them to be earning that money during Kollel Moed. Yes, Yoni?
What about doing college work? That falls under Dover Harvard? Like, I'm going to lose because I'm paying for college. I'm going to lose.
Well, what do you mean the work? Preparing for a test or what?
Like actual assignments that are due on Kollel Moed. Like I have an assignment due that I have to do it right.
Which is due on Kollel Moed, then it's probably okay. You should have done it. You could have done it before Kollel Moed.
Could I have done it? I probably could have, yeah. No, but there's definitely going to be work that I need to do on Kollel Moed.
Right. So then it's probably okay. It's definitely better to use a computer than to write. Yeah, by the way, when we're talking about skilled labor, I forgot to mention this. Writing, it used to be a skilled labor. Calligraphy writing, painting, art, all that sort of stuff, definitely also. That's called a skilled labor. People have the minog nowadays, even though everyone knows how to write, that they either write on a slant, they make a shino, they write on a slant, or they use the left hand. And then as long as it fits into one of the other heterim, Sorka mode and all these other things, otherwise you're definitely not allowed to do it. But if it fits into one of the other heterim, you could do it with a shino. But typing is mutter. Typing, it's very difficult to know which malacha typing fits into. Don't tell people this because they might start texting on Shabbos. But it's very difficult to know which malacha doraisa typing actually fits into. Doing malacha for no reason whatsoever is also an interesting challenge. Let's say I just want to tear paper. It's not helping me or anything. I just fiddle out, tear paper. It could be it's also. It doesn't fit into one there too. I mean, you're not allowed to tear on Yom Tov, so you can't tear on Kollel Moed. I'm just killing bugs for fun. Could be his also. Now, there are two things which, even though they should be mutter, they fit into the categories above, they are still also on Kollel Moed. They are taking haircuts and doing laundry. And these two things are gezeiros drabbanan, even though it's Sorka Moed, Sorka Guf, you need to have a shower, you need to have a haircut, it fits into the same categories as taking a shower. Washing your clothes is Sorka Moed, it fits into the same category as buying clothes for Yom Tov. It doesn't make a difference. Chazam made a gezeira because they thought they didn't want people to go into Yom Tov without having a haircut. They didn't want people to go into Yom Tov without having fresh clothes. So they made a gezeira that you are not allowed to do it during Kollel Moed. And by doing that, they're going to encourage people to do it before Yom Tov came in. There are no exceptions. You can't have a haircut during Kollel Moed. Shaving, you have to find a specific heter from a rabbi if you're going to lose a job or something and you need to shave. But in general, you're not allowed to do it. Cutting nails, also you're not allowed to do it on Kollel Moed unless you cut every single week and you cut them before Yom Tov, then you can cut during Yom Tov. Or if you bite your nails or pick your nails, that's also mutter. It's only cutting that is asa. Washing clothes. So in general, you're not allowed to wash clothes at all during Kollel Moed. Even if there's a financial loss, you're going to lose a job, doesn't make a difference. Kazam and Gzeira, you're not allowed to wash clothes during Kalamoid. Even if you wash all your clothes before Kalamoid, you don't have anything left. So it's better to buy clothes than to wash them. If you can't get home and you can't buy them, then there's a heter of having one, what's it called? Kolifekah, I think it's called, that you can have one piece of clothing and you just wash it over and over and keep using the same piece of clothing until Yom Tov finishes. Speak to a Rav if you get into that situation, you need to do it. But it applies to underwear as well. Whatever you're wearing, you're not allowed to wash it, and it's quite strict, the rules. The only ways is mutter to clean clothing. You can spot clean. Let's say you can use a baby wipe to clean off bits of dirt. You can polish your shoes. You can iron your shirt because it's not done professionally. If you think you iron your shirt professionally, then get your mother to do it or something. You're allowed to iron shirts during Kol HaMoed. And children's clothes you're allowed to do as well, but only what you need for Yom Tov, and you can't throw in other things with it either. Business on Kol HaMoed is also, in general, unless it fits into the terium that we had before. If you, let's say, don't have anything to eat, you have to open up your store. Or if it's Dover Ovid, if you need to get rid of your stock. But you're allowed to go shopping, basically whatever coronavirus allows, then you're allowed to do on Kol HaMoed. Anything that you need for Yom Tov. So you're allowed to go and get essentials. You can go to the store and buy any food that you need. If you have extra, if there's a chance you'll need it on Yom Tov, you can buy it. If you know you're buying it after Yom Tov, then it's also. But if there's a chance you need it for Yom Tov, then it's going to be mutter. You're not allowed to do excessive work on Kol HaMoed. That means even within that team that we said before, things that require a lot of effort, carrying a lot of boxes, let's say moving house, you're not going to do during Kol HaMoed. All these sorts of things that require a lot of effort, you shouldn't do during Kol HaMoed. If it requires small effort, then you can do it if it's Sarach HaMoed. So for instance, let's say you need to go and pick something up from your repairman. So if you need it, that's a slight effort. You have to go out your house, you have to go in the car, you have to drive the place, you have to pick up the thing, take it back into your car. So if you need it for Yom Tov, you can do it. If not, then you're not allowed to do it. Even though there's no malacha involved, you're not allowed to exert yourself on Kol HaMoed. A non-Jew. You can't ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Kol HaMoed if you're not allowed to do it yourself, same as Shabbos. But there is a special heter over here. Before Kol HaMoed, you can give a job to a non-Jew to do, before Yom Tov starts, as long as you don't ask him to do it on Kol HaMoed, and you're not paying him per hour. If you're paying him per hour, that means you're paying him during Kol HaMoed for the job he's doing. But let's say you pay for the job, a mechanic, basic example, I had this once. The car breaks down before Yom Tov, and you call up a guy, day before Yom Tov, and he takes the car away. You don't tell him to get it done during Kol HaMoed. You're not paying him per hour, you're paying for the job. It's completely fine. He chooses to do it during Kol HaMoed. Take a suit to a dry cleaner, drop it off there. They can do it whenever they want, and you'll pick up after Yom Tov. They chose to do it during Kol HaMoed. That's their choice. That's fine. As long as they're not Jewish. Final thing, there are two special mitzvahs on Kol HaMoed of Simcha and Kavod. Simcha and Kol HaMoed, men are meant to drink wine and have meat. And women should have new clothes and jewelry, and children should have candies, same as on Yom Tov, mitzvah of Simcha. And Kavod, first of all, you men wear Yom Tov clothes during Kol HaMoed, like Shimon is with his cufflinks. And some people wear full-on Shabbos clothes, some people just do one thing better than they do during the weekday, just to show that it's a bit of a Yom Tov. And also, you're meant to have meals during Kol HaMoed. The Mishnah Berurah says, not chiyuv, so you don't have to bench again if you miss that Yalav Yavoi. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's a mitzvah to have two meals with bread on Kol HaMoed. So Pesach with matzah during Kol HaMoed. Every day Kol HaMoed, out covered Yom Tov, you should have two meals with bread.